Good morning once again. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last. Dividing it in proportion to their ability, he then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The context in which the parable of the talents, as it is also known in other versions of the Bible, is that Christ had spoken on the Mount of Olives to his disciples about his second coming in John 14, 2-3. And he had specified certain signs that we had to look for before he came. And he had repeated the warning he had told them before, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." That's verse 13 we read in Matthew 25. Now, in the parable of the 10 virgins, he had showed them what it meant to be waiting for Jesus' return. Now, in the parable of the talents, Jesus is now telling us what we are supposed to be doing while we are waiting. We were not just supposed, or rather, we are not just supposed to be idle, just waiting for the return of Jesus. We are supposed to be working. Jesus has given us work to do. The things that we do here on earth contribute a huge difference to what happens here. It impacts widely on how the world sees God and how we see God and how we worship God. Now, statistically, it's said that 20% of people does 80% of the work in church. Whether you agree with that statistic or not, it is actually true. Now, it is a noble thing that the 20% are willing to invest so much time into the Lord's service, but the truth is, God has given all of us the 80% that don't do anything, have also been given talents, have also been given work to do for God while we wait for Jesus' return. It's interesting that the Bible tells us in Matthew, the text we've read, that people, these three servants, were given these bags of silver according to their ability. That's a very important point. I used to think in my naivety that this master had been very unfair to give just one bag of silver, because if the man had invested it, he might have lost it. I was thinking that, you know, when you go and invest your money in today's age, there is a risk that they tell you might lose all your money, or you might not get as much money as you invested. So I thought to myself, well, it's not fair just to give one. At least if you are given five, you might lose one and end up with four. But that's not the case in this story. The servants were given these bags of money according to their ability to use them. The master in this parable is Jesus. We all know that Jesus has gone to heaven and he will come again. And while he is gone, he's given us work to do. So each one of us here has got work to do. We have contributions to make to fulfill the Great Commission to multiply the kingdom, to edify one another as brothers and sisters, and to grow individually. Now, the title of this sermon is, What Will You Do With What God Has Given You? What will you do with what God has given you? We've all been given gifts or talents. Now, the first lot of gifts are those that are given by the Holy Spirit. Some of us have been given wisdom. Some of us have been given knowledge. Others have been given the gift of faith. Others have been given the gifts of healing. And by the same Holy Spirit, some have been given the ability to work miracles. Others have been given the gifts to prophesy. And others the ability to discern the word. Some have been very fortunate to be given the gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues. I often think to myself, I wish I had been given the gift of speech. But that wasn't to be. That gift was given to others. But with that little I have, I've got the desire to speak, albeit not very well. But I try. We have also been given other additional gifts. Some people have got the ability to bring crowds, to draw crowds together. And usually we call it charisma. You got these charismatic people who have the ability to draw crowds together. Some people have been given the ability to speak. I often watch television, people like Doug Batchelor. They seem to have every gift there is, and they are good at what they do. Of the Levites who read the scriptures to the people in the days of Ezra, it is said they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So the Levites were not just chosen because of what and who they were, but they had to develop this ability to be able to inform others what the Bible said. The good thing about speech is it's not limited to those who are able to, because through the little we say to people, we can influence them, whether consciously or unconsciously. But speech can also be toxic, so we have to be aware of what we say, who we say it to, and when we say it. We've also been given a gift of time. Now, I used to wonder how I ever got to do anything since I retired, because I haven't got time anymore. But if you think about it, all the 7.5 hours I did a day, and yet I still had time to do all sorts of things. And yet now I've got 24 hours in which to do things I need to do, and yet I say I haven't got any time. So it's the way we look at it and how we use that time that is important. Some people have been given the gift of health. Others have been given strength. Some have been given money. But unfortunately, when it comes to money, we seem to think that it was given to us so that we can live in luxury. But our money was not given to us that we might indulge ourselves, but it was given to us so that we might honor and glorify God. Money is food for the hungry. Money is drink for the thirsty and clothing for the naked. It is a defense for the oppressed and a means to help those who are sick. I like Brother Mark. He's got this ability to warm the atmosphere. And it is said that is a gift, and that gift should not be expressed to people one knows. It's supposed to be expressed to everybody. To everybody. There are just some people who are oozing, if you like, with affections and the ability to draw people to themselves. That's a gift that we should use, especially when we welcome new members to the church. How were the gifts multiplied, or how were they supposed to be multiplied? Talents used are talents multiplied, as we saw with these three servants. The two who used their bags of money created more money, but the one who didn't use it didn't create anything. Instead, he went to bury it. It's said that the energy he expended digging a hole to bury the money was a lot less than it would have taken him just to go to the bank and deposit the money. Success is not the result of chance or destiny. It is the outworking of God's own providence, direction, faith, discretion or virtue, and persevering effort. The Christian religion is not about simply joining in and staying part of it. It's not a spectator religion, but it is a religion that every true member must equally participate in. What has the Lord, what gift has the Lord given you? We all got different gifts that we accept. Because of grace in Romans 12:6, God has given us gifts for doing certain things well, even when we look here at Lowestoft. We got a number of gifts, and when we all use them, that enhances our worship. Sometimes we are given talents in addition to the abilities we have already. And when that happens, we need to use both those talents. The Lord distributes certain gifts so that his worship can be enhanced. It is not an excuse to say, I have no talent, so I can't do anything. Because everyone has got a talent. It's just a question of whether you choose to use the talents or not. Someone can have a desire to do things, and by the grace of the Lord, that desire is turned into work for the Lord. Sometimes it's just things we are good at. These things are just not given to us for our own benefit, but They are given for us to enhance the worship we have. So why did these two other servants succeed in multiplying their gifts? The first thing we look at is they were faithful. They used the gifts by faith. They were confident that when they went to invest this money, they would get a profit for the Lord. They acknowledged that these gifts had been given to them. They were not of their own making, but they were given to them. So they felt no inhibitions not to invest. And the Holy Spirit spoke with them and they responded. And they did gain power to do more. And God says there will be a reward for those who are faithful, because what the two demonstrated was a degree of faith that we should all have when we become followers of Jesus. The question is, what rewards are we looking forward to? The servants were told, you have been faithful with a few things. They would be put in charge of many things because of their faithfulness. These are the words that we too will hear if we are faithful with what the Lord has given us. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation after they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Now, those who sit in the pews week in, week out, and not do anything will not receive the crown. We need to do our best, the best we can, so that we will be in a position to receive these rewards. And Jesus doesn't just leave it there. Those who don't will be punished. It is like the car that is transmission is stuck in neutral. You got the fuel, you got everything is working in perfect order, and yet the car is in neutral. Do you expect the car to move? It makes impressive sounds. Everything is working perfectly, except that it's in neutral. It's not going anywhere. We just need to be careful that we are not those sort of people who continuously are in neutral. Many years ago, when the white population went to Africa, they used to give the locals sundials. And the locals were so impressed with the sundials that they actually built roofs over them. Now, for those who know how these sundials work, they work because they react to the sun and the position of the sun. And when you build a roof over them, then you are defeating the purpose. They wanted to preserve them, but not realizing that they were doing more harm than good. So we could well be in the same position ourselves, that we have been given all these talents, but we're just keeping them. We are not using them.
we are not improving the talents that we had.
The man who went to bury what he had got nothing in return. And we are told that he was put in a place of no return, a place where there would be gnashing of teeth. We are in danger of ending up there if we don't use the talents we have. It seems as if we want to take and receive salvation, but we don't want to give back work into the kingdom. We just want to take, but we don't want to give. We don't want to sacrifice now for future gain. I think we all know that when you are studying, you make sacrifices for years to come when you will earn that good salary. And if you don't make sacrifices now, then the future cannot be bright. So what are you going to do with what God has given you? Are you going to settle for the status quo, or are you going to multiply your gifts so that they affect all eternity? To conclude, brothers and sisters, our Master is away and he has left us with talents. What are you going to do with what you've been given? Are you going to be like the third servant who did not use his talents but was called by the master lazy? Or are you going to be like the first and second who was called by the master faithful? Our Master will return, and I hope he will find us faithful. Perhaps you've listened today to realize you are like the lazy servant. You've done nothing with what God has given you. There is good news, because the Master is still away. You have time to do something with that. The bad news there is that there will come a time when the Master will return. And if those haven't done anything, who haven't done anything, will be punished. We don't often talk about punishment sufficient enough, but punishment there will be. Perhaps today you are the second servant who did good work and was blessed for it. Perhaps you want to be entrusted with more so that you can do more for the kingdom. Perhaps you are the faithful servant and simply want to recommit to his service. No matter where you stand, we all have been given talents. We all have gifts, and God expects us to do something with them. When you give someone a present, you are hoping that they will do something with it. Sister Maureen told us a story once that she gave a Christmas present to someone, and then the next year that someone gave her a Christmas present, and it turned out to be the same Christmas present that she had given that person. So obviously the person had not used the gift. We ought to use the gifts that we have been endowed to us. And we all have a decision that we can make. We all can commit to doing more. Hopefully then we can all look forward to being
with the Lord forever and enter into his happiness. May the Lord help us to use all the gifts that have been given to us. Amen.
You hold my world in the palm of your hand.